I was just there again a few weeks ago. So another sold out pizza show. I tell you, you want to fill a pizza place that can only fit 5 families? I am your comic.
Don't sell yourself short.
It's impressive. You do pack that.
I can make fun of Detroit style pizza. I got 10 minutes on pizzas.
Was it a good show?
It was. It was fun. It was a good show. So it's sort of interesting. It's a family-run establishment. It's been family-run since whenever they opened, which they brag about on their sign. And it's like 3 brothers that do it. One of which, the reason they have comedy there, he kind of was interested in comedy when he was younger. He went to Second City classes. He went to a few open mics, met some comedians, loves the genre, so on. If he's there, it's a great show. Because he knows how, he's the one who's put the sound system in.
Right. He
will work with you as much. His brothers are like, you're like, hey, the mic isn't working. They're like, yeah, my fucking brother does all this. And you're like, okay.
All right then.
Yeah. Like, all right, so you're telling me it's my problem. Fair enough. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think I told you about the comedy show that we went to over at the distillery.
Yeah.
And it was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Technologically, it was a mess because the one speaker was working and the other speaker wasn't working. And, like, everybody's, like, looking around going, nobody can hear over here. Yeah. What's going on? And nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Dude, there are so many. When I start, I'm so glad I've graduated out of this class of shows. But there are these crazy producers who have these shitty sound systems that they keep in their trunk of their Toyota Corolla. And they go to venues like, hey, would you like to do a comedy night? And venues don't know anything. They're like, oh, yeah, I see your flyers. You look like you probably stage a professional show. And then that shit happens.
Yeah.
Know,
all the time. I don't know if I told you this part, but as we were leaving, I don't know what tour was coming through.
Yeah.
But one of the comedians, you know, is walking out with us, and he's got his box of, you know, his merch that he was trying to sell that I don't think anybody bought it for anything. And I really felt bad for this guy. But we walk out, and I hold the door for him, and he's like, hey, thanks, man. I went, holy shit, you've got a tour bus? Because it's huge buses. Right. He said, yeah, I don't like to brag, but I'm pretty big. Like, yeah, sure you are. I think he wandered over and got in the piece of shit old Volkswagen Rabbit.
So you can usually tell which vehicle is the comics when you arrive. You know, it's got duct tape. Usually at least one wheel's a donut. It's got the chalk from when it was last towed, you know, on the front windshield.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, well, we are here. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Steve.
I'm Dia.
This is Sean.
And I used to do this. I think we're on 273 for those of you keeping track. Okay. So there's been some. Sean, I was telling Dion this earlier today. I like how you post in one of our channels a sort of security update. Like the latest that you're seeing get reported. And I'm just kind of amused that you are reporting this stuff. And it hit me. I said, I know, like, somebody cares about this stuff. So it used to get shared here and there in different channels I'm a part of.
Yeah.
But I just sent it to kind of the guy who's sort of our team's security person. Just was like, you know, do you even care that I send these to you?
Yeah.
Who's looking at this stuff? And do we publish something that kind of goes, yeah, we know this stuff and we're on it. Don't worry about it. Or is there like a hotline that you sort of the 411 or whatever, where you can call or 311
or whatever. Call Julie before you dig.
And just say, hey, you know, I saw this. Yeah. Does anybody care? And all I got back was, yeah, we got a service for that. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
You're probably talking to the vendor we pay to monitor all this. So I'm sure they were like, oh, yeah, of course. We're, top men are on it.
Yeah, top men. Yeah. Exactly. I like that, you know, I raise my little hand and go, somebody's looking at this, right? Somebody's aware of what's going on out here.
I will say, for a once you get above, well, and it almost doesn't depend on your size anymore, but if you're above several hundred users, you almost need a full-time. There are so many critical CVEs that come out now that you almost need somebody dedicated.
Yeah,
you need to just looking at that.
A team that is monitoring.
Because this kind of thing, like Cisco equipment, that doesn't update itself. You know, it's not like Windows updates. You know, ServiceNow doesn't update itself. You know?
Right, yeah. Right. But, you know, they're the ones that have to worry about it mostly, but then the team has to implement, right? Team has to say, you know, are we using that service? Do we need to do something with that? Do we need to patch stuff? And all the regular routine. But it's just, it's, I think it's funny that you kind of are the canary in the coal mine for, for me.
You're always my first source of what's just been
I follow a lot.
Or,
you know, this
you
is,
do.
It, people shit on Twitter. If you manage who you follow correctly,
yeah,
it can be an invaluable tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I learn about most Microsoft outages from Twitter. Like, usually Microsoft will post about the outage details before their status pages have been updated. It's great for bugs. Like,
well, do you wonder if it's actually services that are posting to Twitter that then somebody at Microsoft is seeing and going, oh, I'm going to update the page?
I actually think it's the opposite. I think their status page is so automated
that
it doesn't actually pick up on real problems. It looks for the health in a particular way that may not be reflective of end user experiences. Whereas, like, the guy who the person who's actually working on a problem is like, I should probably update Twitter. We're fucked, you know. and that, like, that's why it's more valuable.
Well, I used to, you know, that was my phrase. Like, people would say, so is this, like, this thing that we put up, is this being monitored? I said, yes, we have a vast network of thousands of nodes around the world. It's every person that's using
people.
It.
Yeah. They're called our employees. And they are vocal.
They absolutely are.
Yes.
We will know.
Yeah.
Speaking of algorithms that give you the stuff you're looking for, this weekend, I received from some friends alerts about what could be on social media. And, like, if you follow, like, you know, I'll go on, like, TikTok or someplace, and I was following the, you know, the Israeli Hamas thing. And, you know, if you're on these social media platforms and you know, watch some of these videos about, like, an update or a thing or a bombing or whatever, they're like, be careful because there might be some stuff on social media,
like,
this weekend.
Disinformation,
the opposite, like actual, because they have hostages, things that they're going to broadcast,
like carnage, and
so, you know, in the feed, you know, as I scroll through these things, you know, you see now I'm seeing more and more and more about this war, or, you know, what's going on, which I, you know, okay, yeah, that's great, but I don't want my whole feed to be that now. It's not taking over.
I'm,
like, you know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole all day. I like the updates, but the main point of it was, even if you watch one video, be careful, because this weekend there could be, like, horrible things live broadcast on these platforms, because maybe you looked at one video for 2 seconds and now it's, or it's mislabeled and it'll be like, you know, Barbie movie and it's some horrendous act. So there was a big push from parents that said, watch your kids on social media this weekend. And I made sure Emma wasn't on, you know, YouTube or anything like that, just in case something got pushed and it was a thing. But it's weird, right?
So I'm glad you brought this up, because I've been thinking about several aspects of it. And I think it's really showing the unhealthiness of how the algorithm has changed things.
Yeah.
And one of the things I hate is the algorithm is so focused on, like, the topic du jour that you're like, guys, I've had enough updates on the Israeli-Palestine conflict for today. Like, I'm up to speed, and I wish it could be like a party where you go, hey, can we talk about something else?
Yeah.
And can I just not see that for the next 4 hours? And maybe tomorrow that can expire and I'll see it again. But all I'm just seeing is partial update here, partial update there. Or it's like, I have enough. I'm done with it. You know, please.
Yeah. And the curated news that used to exist, you got it in those sort of windows, right?
Yeah, important updates. Yeah. You're caught up for today. Let's check in tomorrow.
The daily paper, maybe the twice-a-day paper, the morning news, the nightly news, you know, all of that stuff is like, nope, it's constant. It's constant.
And then I think that also leads to what you're talking about, Dion, where it's not disinformation or horrific visuals, because it's like we're not meant to consume global changes in real time. Like, that's not a healthy...
Our brains shouldn't be... There's a billion things going on.
Yes.
Do you want... Here's all a billion things right now.
Yeah. That's not healthy.
No.
No.
No. Like, yet, you almost need a little distance between incident and reporting to get...
Although I've just described my job. There's a billion things going on. Here's everything.
I think it's a lot of our jobs right now.
Yeah, no, I know. Yep.
It is a fire.
But I have been really thinking about, and I don't have anything more to say about this, but I think this Israeli Gaza conflict has really shown to me just how unhealthy social media has become.
100%.
Yeah.
And it can be framed anyway. And I think what I saw in London was good and interpreted in the way that you want to present it.
What do you mean by what you saw in London?
Yeah. So in London, there were Palestinians. You know, Arab. You know, whatever you want to label them as. There were people peacefully protesting.
Yeah.
That we're not all bad. Don't just blow up hospitals with kids in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's work this out. Most of us want to work it out this way. Don't blame us all, right? And that's both sides, right?
Yep.
So I thought that was great, but you could take that, throw it into a TikTok and say, look at these, you know, people marching against, you know.
And that's what they do, right?
And that's how it's interpreted. Yeah. So it's basically from that social aspect of, well, look at this and look at that and how am I going to spin this and what's really real and... You know, is that even real? Was that AI generated? Were there really 100,000 people there marching in London? Well, there were, and they were peaceful, and they were just trying to say, let's try to work this out, not bomb the shit out of, you know, Gaza just because.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to get into it, but I was like that, you know, for once, there's good people on both sides.
Right? No, and I think I think that's the story of a lot of complex issues, but that is not how the internet likes to sort us into our most zealous voices.
Absolutely.
Because the algorithm, it's really easy to prioritize engagement, you know, and that kind of stuff.
And I try
and
not
that's
to...
why it's all like I it, it's this is the most cynical
society.
Obviously,
been.
My view on the internet is not the what really matters for this conflict, but an ancillary thing I'm noticing is how cynical I've become about the internet since in the last two weeks.
Well, we've talked about it before. I don't participate in social media as a result, you know, and what I do is so much just about me and my family and my friends, right? It's so... I don't care about the noise of this isn't a news vehicle for me. This isn't what I'm trying to consume on a regular basis. Nope.
And I think that's healthy. The debate I have is like, you know, I am a stand-up comic at night.
And
you know, they say you have to be online. And I have gotten opportunities off being online. But I am going through a debate right now where I'm like,
what's the value?
Yeah, exactly. Like, is it actually generating enough
for
me to put up with this? You know?
Well, and knowing that, no, I'm not the norm, but there are people who are tuning out more and more because of the noise that you're talking about, right? It just doesn't make sense. And I'm glad you mentioned it about Twitter. And I've been caught up in this mostly probably because of my daughter. On our web properties for the company and whatnot, I'm like, are we sure we still want to, you know, present an X, you know, logo here? And are we still doing that? And is it an appropriate way to go? And it is. It's an unfair broad brush stroke of, you know, Twitter's just evil because of some of the things that have happened. No, it's kind of no longer what it was, but it's a different form of that kind of thing, and that doesn't mean it's necessarily bad and that everything on it is a terrible thing. So I'm glad you reframed that, because I've just recently been like, are we sure we want to put this on our website? Is this appropriate?
I don't know how deep we want to keep talking about this, but I have a theory on that I don't actually feel Twitter has changed as much as people think. But I think now that everyone on the planet knows who the CEO is, they project whatever. It makes them more. Whenever they see something they don't like on the site, they're like, well, that's due to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of. Was this place ever perfect?
No, it wasn't. Like, yeah. It wasn't. The question is, to me, the question is, are the practices of monitoring and, yes, in some ways censoring.
Yeah.
But censoring for good, that whole thing went away. And is that an appropriate thing or an inappropriate thing? I don't know.
I would argue, I'm not convinced it actually did go away or change. I think it was always this bad. This is just a theory. And I think years from now we'll see a study, and I would love to see that study.
Yeah.
But my theory is that we've all self-sorted into political tribes so much, and he's perceived as a conservative, that I think we're saying, oh, it's become worse. It's become more openly Nazi. It's become this and that. And I'm like, I don't know that it has.
Yeah, well, the things that I'm talking about are the fact that the people that were in that department have talked about, they kind of cut the staff immediately, mm-hmm. and they cut everybody and effectively removed that department. Now, what I don't know and what they probably don't know is, well, what spun up? Maybe, know, it's like, okay, we're not going to do it this way. This whole group is not the way we want to do this. We want to do it a different mm-hmm. way. And here's the new group that does it. And that's the part that is unclear.
Yeah, and I don't, exactly.
So it's all, it's all fair. And you're right. The polarization of our society and the way that our corporations are helping support that polarization in ways is an interesting one.
I can go back to AI for a second. I have two things. Recently, I was like, I saw processors are coming back to be like, hey, are you following the latest updates on graphic cards and maybe a processor? Because there seems to be a little bit of a bump in performance. And hey, you guys notice nobody's really talking about it anymore. It's not like, oh my God, Pentium this or iCore that or whatever.
That's what I want out of Pentium.
But that was a thing back in the day, and we all kind of followed that. We knew what was the thing to follow, and oh my, Intel's in this and whatever. And I've just been out of that game for so long, I don't really know the latest graphics card of, I don't know if I need an RTX 4090 mm-hmm. or should I get a 5700 or, whatever.
Well, in the Apple world, M1, M2, now there's M3 coming.
And Max and Pro just all the fancy names, and it's fantastic. But they're talking about it again. So it's like, oh, maybe this is a thing to pay attention to because maybe there's an architectural change that's getting us closer. We're not quantum yet, but, maybe
closer
we're
to what?
Whatever. So I don't know. But it got me thinking that, I know engines. I know V8s. I know V6. I know inline 6. I know a lot about engines. And AI is the same way now. There's these components of, ChatGPT 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. There's graphics engines that go from the DALL-E 1 to E3 to E1. All these things in AI are very similar to what we talk about in other worlds. And again, I'm way behind that curve. I can't even keep up with why would I ever even want to keep up with those? Because they change every week. It's DALL-E 3 just came out and now you can, do this. It's like, what?
How do I think it's interesting that you compared it to engines. Cause I've actually talked about this with my kids where it's like, I'm the opposite of you with cars. I don't know anything about an engine, but my uncles who all worked in the Ford engine plant in Cleveland, Ohio would rebuild it. And that their generation just grew up on fixing cars.
Carburetors to EFI to, you insert whatever you want.
And what's interesting is I have a difference with computers kind of related to that to my kids, where my kids grew up where computers just work and you never had to open up the inside. My computer's dad, solder stuff and fixes it. The way I am with computers is the way my uncles were with engines, where I know how to rebuild it all.
That's the thing.
And change things. Yeah. My kids have no idea.
Theoretical physicist Guy Kawasaki, I believe is his name, I saw him speak 15, 20 years ago, probably 20 years mm-hmm. ago. And what he was talking about was effectively he traced technology, and he started with paper, the written word, mm-hmm. and paper, and the fact that when paper gets to a point, when technology, any technology, gets to a certain point, it is for the rich and the famous, and only the rich and the famous, and then it evolves into a more everyday thing for others, and it's shared. So they went to from paper with the rich to libraries, mm-hmm. where you know public could go to now paper's everywhere, and paper's therefore nowhere because it doesn't exist anymore. It's just part of the fabric of what we do, mm-hmm. and technology and computing doing the same thing. So back then, 20 years ago, he was talking about when you think about your computer, you think about your computer, the box that is on your desk, mm-hmm. or potentially the, mm-hmm. the portable laptop thing. But now that it's a phone and a tablet and a refrigerator and a television and it's in clothes, mm-hmm. it's everywhere.
It's ubiquitous. Yeah.
Now it has yes. disappeared. It is so prevalent. It's everywhere, and so it's nowhere. We don't even see technology anymore.
You don't think about it.
It's just part of our lives.
And we've mentioned this before. It's The Art of Innovation by Guy Kawasaki. It's a TED Talk, and he brought this up before. We've been here before because it's like it just disappears into the fabric of society.
So this is what
we're seeing,
right?
Yeah,
with AI. Yeah. But AI is harder to see.
Yes.
But we know it when we kind of see it. We kind of go, that's an AI thing. But as we start now, it's very
well. They're blurring it on purpose.
Blurry world. That's it's going
to
be
everything
scary.
We thought was smart. And I was talking to somebody about this. Everything we were calling smart is now being called AI. Everything.
Yeah, it's and interesting how it raises generous they are with that.
Oh
term.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, let me put it this way: there's a vendor, a directory vendor, that has flipped, and every answer is in AI. So whenever it's like a new feature or a new product or a new SKU that you have to pay it's AI, right? But it's the same smart shit that you sold me last year that you've said now it's called AI and it's better. Okay,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
But I think this was an interesting thing. I was talking to a friend who's in the industry too, and they're like, oh yeah, so it's the same shit. It was the smart thing before, but as soon as I say AI now I have to have legal and security get involved because they want to know, what do you mean AI? Are they recording it? Is it recorded? Is it open source? Where is it being shared? It's all open again. No, it's the same shit. It's just the thing that we said smartphone is now AI phone or what? It's the same thing. Just ignore it. Please don't make me go through audits just because I said AI.
It's what sales told me to say. Please. I'm so sorry.
It's just AI.
It's all bullshit.
It's always been AI. It's all bullshit.
So I'm glad you talked about devices and smart devices.
Yeah.
John's not here today, but John, harkens to John's comment about I still have a dumb house because he never had anything, right? I literally have a dumb house because I don't know if you saw.
Oh,
Jen shared something. So recently.
I don't know. I think that's smart if you ask me.
In the last 2 years or so. I had Alexa, and I gave up on Alexa, and I said, I'm just going to have Google. Well, we have a little lake cabin, and it's got a Google Home in it, and we have our house where it's got a Google Home in it, and I have lights that turn on and off. And for some odd reason, very recently, the Google Home in my house does not hear do this in this house. So both of them have lights
places.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
That would make sense, Sean.
Yeah.
So if I say,
turn the lights off,
turn
and it
on
does it
the
everywhere.
Lights,
yeah.
It would turn on the lights everywhere. Brilliant. No. If I say, turn on the lights, it says, I'm turning on the lights. And it happened in the other house. And you go, why did it do this? Because it'll say, like, I've turned on three devices.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's five devices here that are supposed to go on. What happened?
Are they named?
Oh, it did it the other way. They're named the same thing. So, living All room right. lights
okay,
or whatever,
well.
Right? So, yes.
All right.
So, but it worked for 18 months.
Okay.
Now, well, let's go crazy on
this. I saw the video.
What ends up happening is I'm getting frustrated. It's ridiculous. I don't get it. I don't know how this came about. What made me do something, but I just changed the inflection of my voice. I went high, and I said, hey, Google, do this. And it did it. And Jen was cracking up. She was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Yeah. I hope that sticks. That is exactly what it is. If I just use my voice and say, turn on the lights at the other house, they go on. If I do it in a high-pitched voice, they go on in the other house.
Here's my theory.
Okay.
At the lake, you're the one who says turn the lights on the most, and in the home, in the room, Jen's the one that says turns it on.
You think Google? So, that's what
because it knows the profile.
You think Google thinks
it knows. It knows your voice and it knows hers. It does do profiling. If Jen says something, it knows it's not you. And I think you are the cabin voice. Like, I want the lights on. It's at the cabin. And she's the, I want the lights on. So, and it's like in the bedroom. Like,
that's hilarious.
That's what I think is happening.
But she has to go up in her voice, too.
Yes. Well, she can't be tired in the morning and sound like a Steve and say, turn the lights on. If she wants the lights to turn on in the bedroom.
It is.
Or the living room.
The most ridiculous thing in the world.
Well, I think that's what's happening. And Urush would probably spend 12 minutes on this and say, listen, when Nikki does the thing, it does the thing. And when I do the thing, it does the other thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that it does that. It does voice recognition bits. But I was on the same path.
I hope it's that smart, but I don't.
But I also hope that it's kind of silly. I would assume it's that smart. Why? When would they go, oh, Steve doesn't actually live here, so I'm not going to listen to him at all. Or I'm going to listen to him only in a different, you know, it's like, come on. Come on.
Maybe there could also be maybe some noise that it has to listen differently. It's very quiet in a couple rooms in your house, where it's maybe very noisy at the cabin. And
it's
you're
quiet
like,
everywhere.
They don't test this shit with multiple and locations because it would be so expensive and nobody knows how
where's
it works
the last place you said to do this?
Situations,
maybe where's the last place you said to do this? And it'll be different tomorrow because you were there or now you're here.
That could be.
You know, maybe you said.
I would love, you know, and I haven't done a lot of research on it, but it's just frustrating.
I thought that was very funny though, because when she was down here, it was up here. It made me laugh.
It works.
It was a chuckle.
It works every time. So, are you still in a dumb house, or do you have a smart device?
I'm in a dumb house. Yeah. I like being in a dumb house.
None of my family could live in a dumb house now. Are you kidding me? We have 12 timers going at all times. We have alerts. It's doing lights. It's everything. Yeah. My daughter will never live in a house where she can't just tell a computer to do something for her. It's done. It's
she
forever.
Thinks she lives in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So can I walk
in
your
either
house?
She's telling her mom to do something for her, lights or she's on. Telling Alexa.
So I'm just curious if I can walk into your house and say, is it Alexa?
Yeah.
Alexa, when's the last time Dion had an Italian beef? And it will just know that, yeah, that timer is at, you know, 24 hours. It's been 24 hours.
Alexa, flush the toilet. Like, you refuse to touch any levers or anything.
Correct. Yeah, we're not that plugged in yet. But it's usually lights and timers. Let's just go with that. It's a bunch of other things, but lights and timers.
He's got 12 timers. I'm trying to figure out what the timers are. Last time Dion had
you can turn on
Italian beef.
Pool
last
pumps,
time he
pool
last
heaters.
Time he rotated
there's
his cars.
Always Italian beef tires. Marinating. So that's 24 hours a day, and that's got its own set of timers.
It's just always funny, and but they've gotten so smart with like don't set a timer for 10 minutes. It's a turtle timer because the turtle's taking a bath and we don't want to forget about her in the sink, so it's a turtle timer. Or it's a rice timer, a chicken timer, and a thing timer, because all three of those have to go off at different times, and you know, you got to open the oven for this and that. So like there's just
does it tell you when it goes off?
Yeah,
that
and
this
it'll
is
go,
the turtle
timer your
is done.
Turtle timer is done and got your it. Rice timer is done.
See, we've
and
never gotten
steak.
That complex like two timers running like for in the kitchen for one thing and a second thing. That's about as detailed
and
as we
it's
know.
Usually like a, you know, It set a Emma iPad timer so that she knows she's getting, and then announcement. We do make an announcement, dinner's ready, and then boom, it lights up the whole house until, you know, it rings a bell. And like we use, I don't know, Emma will be like, Dad, I need Alexa in every room in my new house when she buys a house someday. It'll just be like, do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll come with
what do I want?
Maybe the
for
house
Christmas?
Will come with Alexa. You know, maybe. You know, I'm just saying. You know,
and I've thought about that. So if you've done certain things in your house, like, we were early days of, you know, X10
years
back
ago,
in the
you were,
day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You were
and
way
so in. I was thinking about, well, I've installed this switch that does this way. Nobody's going to know how to deal with this switch. So I'm clearly going to have to swap that back out.
Yeah.
Now I'm to the point where I'm like, well, if I put in a switch, I want the switch because it costs more and I want to, you know, it's cost thing. But that's all getting more watered down,
yeah,
too, right?
You can make anything.
And light bulbs, right? So Alexa. Now it's light bulbs. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the other thing, too, is you can make the kitchen any color you want. You can make the family room any color you want. You can make the deck any color you want.
I think that's where it's so hilarious to be. It's like, are you tired of the rigmarole of turning lights on or off with a flip of a switch and you just want to tell a computer, you know? Or even if they're multicolored, like you used to be able to do that with a wheel, you know? That's a completely unnecessary.
Well, we have lights upgrade in our kitchen like you do, and we change the colors for whatever reason, and we just say, Alexa, make the kitchen blue or pink or red or green or yellow, yeah, or whatever.
Just don't go into Dion's house and say, hey, Alexa, sexy time.
Sexy time.
Sexy time. Starts playing music.
The whole yes house.
There's
goes
a playlist.
Goes
there's
purple.
A playlist.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There's a playlist. But the one lights we use all the time are, we have like an entertainment center with our TV and we decorate it with lights for the season. And it's usually, you know, it's got pumpkins for Halloween. It's got Christmas snowmen for Christmas. But it's all lit up sometimes. And we'll be like watching TV and it's just like, you know, okay, this is Alexa, turn off. And we call it the theater. Turn off the theater because it's like this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then it just goes. Oh, and we're like, we can watch TV now. But it's on because it's decorative and whatever.
Sure,
yeah, sure.
But we use that one all the time because it's like turn on theater. Turn
yeah, and that's what I, you know how, like, you Christmas lights or whatever, you get them all set up and you plug them all in.
Yep,
and then
outside
it's a question
too
of, like, do you have timers running every, like, back in the day you did all that, right? Now you plug it into a couple of outlets that are all programmed to do the thing at sundown, right? And so, and it's all tied to sundown is the internet, and we know when that is, and therefore, boom, it happens when it's supposed to happen. And it has improved those kinds of moments. You're right.
Yeah.
It's a lazy ass that doesn't want to get out of bed. Oh, damn it.
But
I forgot to turn off the light switch before I went to bed. Oh, I can just tell somebody.
Well, but it's also a control panel that says, I don't have to say, Alexa, turn on the lights anymore. I can tell Alexa to run a routine every day at 5 to do the thing I want it to do.
Right.
And it's just a centralized place, Sean, in the app that says, control all these things for me. Whereas if you, in the back of the day, you'd plug your lamp into the timer, you'd dial it to this, you set the 5 in the 5, and then it would be done. And then you would never touch it again, and the lights went on at 5 and off at 5, and you'd be all, whatever, right?
No, and
that's what Alexa is now.
I don't dispute the convenience. Like, I think the counter argument is the convenience worth being in a place where maybe if Amazon is having an outage, you can't turn on your light bulbs? Which is, I think, where we could be. I think they're going to get more and more cloud-based, where you could be like that.
I agree. If they take the switch off the
you
wall,
you still need a button.
If
to
you
push.
Take that off the wall,
yeah,
you're right. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Like that's where I'm kind of coming from. Like, I'm such a cynic about uptime and all
now,
this
Now, I
stuff,
will say
you know?
This. There's a way to get around that too, where you've got a localized Alexa that never has to connect to the internet and knows exactly what you need in the house because it's AI and it's there for you when you need it. And there's, you know, as long as you have power, you could do it. So there's
well,
ways around
the lights on without
I
your
know,
power
that's
anyway.
Just,
so
yeah,
that's fine.
That's my point. Is So, all right, we could do AI all day. Let's move on to something else.
We should move on.
Should we talk about football? No, I'm just kidding. Let's not talk football.
I'll talk football. So I did love that. Like, I feel this is...
We're in Chicago. We
don't do
talk
it.
Football.
Don't do it.
One story I posted last week, if I can find it here in the channel, that I think is so in our wheelhouse is So I stumbled into this where I found out about a subreddit that I had never heard of, where it's called RBI. It's the Reddit Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, boy.
What you do is, like, if you're like, oh, hey, this car hit me in a hit and run. Oh, I only have an image of it and two numbers from the license plate.
Yeah.
Can you find it?
Yeah.
And it's these internet sleuths, and they'll be like, Portland, Oregon, this is where he lives. You know,
wow.
Go ahead.
There is a woman on TikTok who's in my, because it's an algorithm, because I watch every time she does this. And I don't know what her history is, and she won't say it. She's pretty ambiguous about it, but I think that's just because she wants to seem a little bit more than she is. But she's like, her claim to fame on TikTok is, I know where you shit.
I know where you shit.
I am not joking.
What a hilarious,
you.
Yeah.
I know where you poop. That's her thing. I know where you poop. And the idea is, when people are mean to you online, tell me and I'll find them for you. So if somebody's bullying you and you can tell me their handle, I'll tell you where they poop. And she literally, in 7 minutes, almost every single time, shows you, so I had your handle, and I did this, and I found your friends, and guess what? One of your friends doesn't protect their thing, and they're public, so I found this, and guess what? Is this your front door? Oh my God, this is your front door? Well, guess what? On Zillow, here's the picture of your bathroom. This is where you poop.
And these people are crazy. Like, they spend their whole day just doing this.
And she's like, so good, this woman.
They're like, it's like these online Sherlock Holmes, where that's just all they live, eat, and breathe. And there's this great, in the current Politico magazine, there's this great article on how a lot of the January 6th rioters were basically arrested.
It was a Reddit.
Based on these kind of people
online.
Find
these people.
Basically, the FBI would do these posts like, we need information on these people, thinking that like their loved ones or neighbors would turn them in. And a lot of times it was these internet sleuths that would do it.
Yeah.
You know,
wow. FBI most wanted, picture this person standing in the Capitol, you know, next to a thing. Who's this person? And what are we, 800 people later?
Yeah. Like, they caught a significant amount. And some of the stories are hilarious. Like, I just want to tell this one story. this internet sleuth, they only called Josh. They wouldn't give out his real name, but he said... Josh, after running a rioter's photo through facial recognition site and then combing through what he described as, quote, an avalanche of dicks.
Okay.
This person showed up on numerous explicit websites. Josh was able to identify a former gay porn actor who appeared to assault a police officer. Josh then goes on to say, the things I do for this country. The number of dicks I have had to see in the name of preserving our democracy, I should get a medal. Oh, Jesus. But he basically ran into this software, and normally he would only get one or two hits, and the software said, we got a million hits
We got it.
Yeah, and then he was like, okay, click on that. Wow. Click on that. Wow. Click on that. Wow.
The cascade of dicks.
Oh, wow.
But
to
I
save
think
our
that's
democracy,
so interesting, you know? That we, it's, and I think there's maybe ethical concerns there, you know,
yeah.
That we're outsourcing that to, they're not quite vigilantes because they're not summarizing justice, but they are finding people, and what if, hopefully the FBI is doing their due diligence if they're wrong,
right.
You know.
Right.
I'll, next time I see one of this woman's videos, I'll share her screen name so we have it, but it's they're amazing to watch.
Well, so. I you know,
it's scary.
There are people, my wife's one of them, that are very adept at finding stuff, and it's like, so my oldest was trying to move out of his place and rent a new place, and they were looking at different venues, and they came to us and said, hey, this looks like it's too good to be true. They, you know, it's in the neighborhood we're looking in. It's like half the cost of everything we've looked at. You know, we're going to go, we have got an appointment to go see this, but it's just really weird. Well, in that process, Jen went in her, like, sleuthing mode, And she went out and she found it and said, no, this definitely looks like it's probably a scam.
Scam.
Well, in the process of doing things, she or they, Andy and his partner, went to this house and they called the guy and they were like, well, you know, we're here. And he said, oh, well, I'll just give you a code and you can get in the house. This guy was, I am convinced, working for the company that was actually renting it. And he was trying to get their deposit and all their stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because he had a code.
Yeah.
And he gave them the code to get in the house.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just.
What a scam.
They ended up calling the company and saying, you know, this is what's going on. Is this real? So we might have gotten that guy in trouble.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
But
that's
he's doing fraud. It.
Yeah.
Way out of line.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, so Jen's, you know, 7 minutes? No. But you know, there's too much. There's way too much information out there.
Sure.
You know, finding out where somebody poops. Yeah, great. You can find a ton.
You can find somebody.
Ton
of
information.
If you put it out there,
it's
going to be fine.
And it's always not the person, but the person knows somebody that knows somebody.
That's how they remember.
One of my 600 friends on Facebook is going to be the way that somebody finds me.
Yep,
yep.
That's how an internet sleuth found James Comey, the former FBI director's private Twitter handle. He Googled who James Comey's kids were, and he basically found the one account that follows all of his kids, you know?
Oh, and well, that's the scariest thing.
James Comey's the head of FBI. He doesn't want anyone to know he's on Twitter, but he was discovered based on how he wanted to consume information.
I was,
you know?
I don't know who, I forget who I was looking for. You do the same thing. You're just like, well, who do they follow?
Yep.
And there it is. Or who follows them? And you're there.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well,
creepy. We shouldn't end on creepy. We should, but one more thing.
Speaking of, if I can find this thing, the cascade of dicks.
What? Bag of dicks?
It reminded me, I don't remember what the phrase was, but that's what stuck. So there's this apparent event in a frog's life. And I don't know if this sounds familiar to you, but during the mating season, female frogs have taken to being sort of overwhelmed by male frogs trying to mate with them. And they have taken, they have now, there was a study found, they have taken to finding that females will literally play dead to avoid
me alone.
I don't dispute that at all, because like, whenever, I'm not going off human behavior. I'm going off whenever I'm at my sister's house and she lives on a farm and there's tons of frogs, these male frogs, like every now and again, they'll get like in the porch by us and they just go, like they do their mating call and they just don't stop. Like they're just like, come fuck me. I'm here. You know, I don't give up. You know, like they will never stop. You know?
Yeah. Well, no, this is like, these are like orgies. Literally, there's this breed of frog that goes through this ritual. I got to find the link again.
It's,
have you found it?
The Royal Society in England has discovered
that
female frogs will indeed play dead to avoid having sex. European frogs were analyzed in a study, and it says faking death and other tactics are used by females simply just for survival, because of basically it's like an orgy, and they just have to protect themselves from being you know, involved in the act of with so many. So they're like, I'm just dead. I just can't even.
We do the same thing at our level.
Just
you know,
stop.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute.
Josh, you have a headache for the eighth day in a row? That's interesting, you know.
Oh, there's three avoidance. Yeah. Hang on. For all the women out there, there's three avoidance actions that these frogs go through in order to avoid having sex. So if you'd like to borrow one of these, feel free. Rotating. When a female rotates around her body on the axis when plexed by a frog, and basically just says, I'm going to rotate away from his hind feet to get away mm-hmm. from him. So basically,
I'm going to show you I'm not interested.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's not mm-hmm. the thing. Walk away. A release call. So the female's basically saying, stop. So she grunts or squeaks and basically is like, get the fuck off me. All right. And the last one is tonic immobility. I'm fucking dead. Just, I look like I am dead. They outstretch their legs. They play dead, and they just lay there and hope nobody. Yeah. They just leave me alone. Everybody, so these are the three moves.
Go away.
And they rotate, they call, and they play dead. So just, you know, word to the wise.
So the other phrase that's in this, you know, tonic mobility, as you just used, the other phrase that I liked in this story was mating balls. These are like events.
Oh, that's what they call the orgy. Oh,
yes, the orgy is called a mating ball.
The orgy.
Oh, our great December mating ball. Yep. We all love when that time comes of year. Around. Yeah. But it's a real bacchanalia.
But it's also the royal whatever found this out. It's also apparently just these European common frogs.
No, I get
so
that. That's the
U.S.
influence.
Common frogs.
It's the influence of France.
They're all, yeah.
They're loose morals.
The women just won't cooperate. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. They just no. Tonic mobility.
Immobility, yes.
I thought that was a fun
one. That's a good one to end on. I like that one.
That would be a fun thing to say to your wife, like, hey, can we fool around tonight? No. She goes, no. You're like, are you giving me tonic immobility? Like, what are you, like, I just like that as a phrase for no. You know? Tonic immobility.
Or she's laying there going, tonic immobility, tonic immobility, tonic immobility.
Laying here. Yeah. Dead isn't working, so I've got to now
I'm
say
letting
it.
You know.
You got to set that up to a Google alert where the lights change.
Yes, yes. Out of purple mode. Yeah. Doesn't matter. That's
sexy
what
time.
Dion says sexy time.
Over. Tonic immobility mode.
Tara says tonic immobility. Boom.
What's your safe word? Tonic immobility.
It's pretty good. Well,
you're hungry?
I might be. I'm a little
hungry. I'm starving.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? We got a plan? It's a nice day.
It might be our last good day of the year.
It's nice out. It's nice out, and we've all worn our blazers. So
we've all got our blazers.
We should hit the road. We should hit the road.
Let's go to the Drake. We'll get a room.
Old school. Yikes. Like it.
Well, the 95th floor is closed now. The signature room is done. So
that's right.
We can't
go
there.
So, yeah. All right. We've been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Cheers.
But seriously. Are we going to sit outside or are we just...
I don't know if they'll necessarily have that outside.
If we sit out... Everybody's getting ready for Christmas, so I don't think we can.
I was going to propose Jefferson's bed.
That's a good idea.
They may have their outside open or the windows will be open. We haven't been there in a while.
Might be able to get a full meatloaf dinner.